Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Abbey's Road is brought to you by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Abbey's Road with Abbey Laporte. Episode 1, an intro with a guest you know.
This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Abbey Laporte. Welcome to episode 1 of Abbey's Road. This episode, I want to give an outline of what the show is going to be about. And that way, you'll kind of have an idea of what topics we're going to cover and what format it's going to be in. So, we're all set up here. I'm kind of just learning the ropes. We're in the TWiT Cottage, which is actually my dad's, like, netcast network. So, that's what I'm doing it out of, and I'm trying to figure out all the technical things and all this stuff. But so I am going to be doing a show called Abbey's Road about teen issues and about issues that are going to affect the up-and-coming generation, because I think that it's really important to learn more about those issues. And I feel like growing up, I've seen how kids in my age group and their parents and people working with those kids don't really know that much about what's actually going on, and don't know the statistics about these things that are happening, and don't know how, you know, like, technology is playing in, and how, you know, the bigger, all this stuff is, there's all these factors that have made teens' lives very different in this generation than the one before it. And we're growing up being raised by baby boomers and children of the 60s who have totally different morals than parents have ever had before. Maybe that's just me. We're in Northern California. That's where we're broadcasting from. So that's probably half of it. But I kind of want to examine what each of these issues is about. For example, issues like guy-girl dynamics and what that's like in this generation, parental issues, getting along with your parents, fighting with your parents, and having to respect their authority. And then things like driving or drugs or sex and making different choices like that. Also, a big part of this show is going to be the college process, because I am beginning to learn, as a rising senior in high school, and this next year I'll be a senior, and I'm really figuring out that it's actually a very, very stressful process, much more stressful than it's ever been, in my opinion. And just really, it's evolved and changed so quickly. I'm sure, as everyone knows, since the Industrial Revolution, our entire world has just, like, changed so quickly that now we've gotten to a point where kids have, it's like, it's all going really fast, and it's all changing so fast that even, I have a little brother who's, I guess, 2.5 years younger than me, and seeing him go through junior high is completely different than my experience in the same junior high school with the same types of friends, just because how those kids relate to each other has already changed that quickly. And when he's going into when he's applying to colleges, it's going to be, once again, totally different. So, I just thought, I was talking to my dad about kind of interning this summer and figuring out something to do, and I realized that there's some sources that kids and parents and educators have that they can look at these issues and look at statistics and look at kind of analyzation of why different things are happening with kids nowadays. But I feel like the more sources they are for that kind of information, the better. And if we can condense a lot of that information, a lot of that news into a show, I think that'd be really helpful for people. And I know that I would like to see stuff like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to be doing one show per week, and we'll bring in experts about these issues. Like, for example, I have not technically talked to her yet, but Some of you may be familiar with Vanessa Van Petten of RadicalParenting.com. You can find her there. And she's written all these articles. She actually wrote a book when she was, I believe, 18 years old about, I don't know what the book's about, but she writes these articles about parenting and about issues that are affecting teens that are totally different from the issues that used to affect teens. So I'd love to have her, and she could talk a little bit about her experience doing counseling with like groups of girls and their friend dynamics and stuff like that. And so like, for example, I'll have her in, and then I'll have maybe another guest in, and we'll have first an interview and then hopefully some discussion about news items or about I'm hoping to take calls in. So guest calls, and then we'll discuss those too. And it should be really good, just because I think that some of the guests are going to be very, very interesting people who have a lot to say about teens and a lot that they've learned about teens. For example, another guest that I was thinking of having in is Marco Moroni. He does not know that I'm hoping to have him in, but I am. And he's a high school teacher. He's a phenomenal teacher, and he has worked with kids forever. And I think that he's someone who's really seen that change that's been happening so quickly for teens and how they relate to each other. And he, when he gives writing assignments and stuff like that, he lets the kids be really honest with him. So he knows a lot about kind of what's going on in that world. So we'll have people like that in. And then Brian W.M. Niles is going to come in, hopefully, two shows from now. And his company is Target X at targetx.com, and they work with colleges to market to students, which is kind of a specific thing, but it's really interesting because he's been working in college admissions for years, and he's now helping the colleges portray themselves in a good light to the students and helping them attract the right students. So we'll have people like him in to talk about the other side, that kind of hidden, mysterious side of college admissions that no one really knows about, because it's very kind of shrouded in mist for students. I don't know anything about it. It's so scary, too, because now college admissions are just getting, it feels like they're getting so arbitrary and just based on nothing, because it's like there's 80% of the kids who apply are totally qualified with great grades, good test scores, all this stuff. I mean, it's like, how do you get in if everyone's that qualified? So we'll be bringing college admissions directors in, which will be very interesting. And yeah, so those are the kinds of guests we're going to bring in. And then I want to have some other teenagers, some of my friends or things like that in to talk with those experts. And then we'll just discuss, like I was saying. Let's see. We'll hopefully talk a little bit about social networking and how that's influenced our generation, because I think it's pretty clear that our generation is a very a little bit egotistical, if you know what I mean. We have all these pages, we have Facebook pages all about ourselves with like thousands of pictures of ourselves. I mean, it's weird if you ask me. It's not weird. It's good. It works for some things, but I think it's important to discuss that and to look at how that's affecting the psychology of our generation and why we're leaning towards things like that, websites like that, that are so self-centered, so focused around the individual. And then, let's see, so we'll be taking in calls from the audience. I also would love to get emails with requests for topics, because what we're going to do is we'll have, like I was saying, a guest in, and then that whole show, everything about that show will be focused on one topic, a more specific topic. So that way you can download the show that you're interested in and you can just have a show only on that topic and things about that topic. So please do send in ideas of guests and topics you'd like to hear about. My email address is abby@twit.tv, and I will get your emails there. I just got back from the beach, so it's a hard transition into a not beach setting, but that's okay. And then, speaking of the beach, my dad has stayed back at the beach house. He's still there. And we are going to interview him. Because, like I said, we're in the Twit studios. So I think it'd be interesting to interview him since he is the connection between this show and where we're recording it. So, and because he's never really been on that side of the microphone. He's always been the one hosting. So I think it'd be interesting to hear a little bit about his story. So I'm going to try to figure out how to technically transition it to him. Here, I'm going to switch the shot first. Let's see. There you go. Now you can see him. You still can't hear him. He's actually been in the corner the whole time. I just hid him and muted him, so he wasn't involved in the whole intro bit. So, okay. He is Skype one. Hello?
Yes.
Ooh.
Hi.
Oh, that's loud. That's really loud.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm at the beach.
You are at the beach. Good.
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna try
I get
to...
one day off a year, and this is it. Calling me at my one day off.
That's not true, by the way. That's not true at all. So, okay. That was my intro. Did you hear it?
I did. It was great.
Thanks.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing the show. I think this is something that we've wanted to do on a network for some time, so I'm glad you could do it.
And he, of course, is also a parent of a teen.
I am a parent of two teens.
He's a... Oh, well...
and Henry, it's not easy. Let me tell you.
My brother's 14, so...
Soon to be 15. That's
yeah,
a teen.
Soon to be 15. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Been a teen for 2.5 years. He's been a teen for a long
time. I'm soon to be, in fact, not a teenager anymore.
Oh, don't rush it. You still got 2 more years.
3. Well, I'm 17 right now, so... okay, so... let's dive right in then. How are you today?
I'm very relaxed. It's very nice here. We're out at the beach. We rented a beach house at Stinson Beach, and it's very pretty. I'm sorry for the wind noise, but I forgot to buy headsets.
Of course. So,
and I thought it'd be more fun to do this out on the beach. Now, I have to say, if the connection gets bad all of a sudden, we're borrowing the neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So it, as long as they don't, you know, get on BitTorrent or something, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, let's just hope the neighbors don't see this. Because
I have an AV joke.
They did not protect it with a password, to be fair. It's not a password-protected Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah, and I brought my EVDO card. We were going to use that, and for some reason, all of a sudden, it's booting me off every time I try to connect.
Oh, there's someone.
So, this is working.
Yeah, that's fine.
But if it gets bad all of a sudden, I'll let you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
Thank you.
Oh, who are you talking to? Is that the neighbors?
No, I'm pretending. Oh, it is the neighbors. Yeah, you don't mind. Okay.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, God, Dad. Okay. So, Leo Laporte is Chief Twit here at the Twit Network, the Twit Studios.
Right.
And he has built this whole thing, and he has all these shows on his network. There's like, what, 15 shows or something?
I have no idea. I don't really keep track.
There's around 15 netcasts or podcasts.
And I should say, I didn't build it all by myself. I mean, we have a great staff of people that are working with you, Dane and Colleen and Tony, Eric, our
but
newest.
But you hired them. So you technically found those people. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
to some extent.
Yeah, but it's, you know, nobody builds anything by themselves. And, you know, another group to remember is the people who funded it, which is the listeners or their donations.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't really exist without them. So you never do anything in a vacuum.
Mm-mm. No, it's true. And so what it'd be good to hear about today, I think, which we've already heard about a little bit live, but we haven't put on this yet, though, is how you got to this place and kind of what your path was getting here.
You know, it's funny because it's something that actually I think about with my children, with you and Henry, is what do I tell you guys to help you along in your path? And, you know, looking back on it, I realized that there really wasn't any plan, and there probably wasn't anything I could have done to plan for it. So what I ended up telling you guys, I think, and I hope I've given you the messages, to do what you really love and what you care most about, and that's what you'll be the best at. And because you'll be the best at it, that's where success lies for you. The worst thing you can do is do something because you think you have to do it or ought to do it to prepare for a career, because you don't really know yet. And I didn't know till I was in my 40s what my career was going to be. So there was no way to plan for it. You know, when I was your age, I wanted to be an actor.
Mm-hmm. Although what you're doing now is more similar to that than a lot of other career choices.
It is. It's very similar. You know, what happened was that I loved acting and I really wanted to be an actor, but I was too chicken to do it. I didn't want to go through auditions. I didn't want all the rejection.
It's really hard to be an actor.
And I didn't have the commitment to it, and I didn't think I could take the rejection. Instead, I did something else that was close to it, which was radio. And I really did fall in love with radio. And actually, I'm being facetious in some way, saying I didn't find out what I wanted to do because I was 40. I really did. Found out when I was your age, I fell in love with radio. And I really have done nothing but that, even though we're doing video, I did television and we're doing netcasts. It's all really the same kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, talking on the microphone with people.
Although, to be fair, it's kind of almost just as much luck to get to this kind of position in radio as it is to do an act. I mean, this is hard to get to.
Oh,
acting's
yeah.
Acting's hard. Fact, it's hard to be an actor, but it's also hard to be a broadcaster in any way.
Probably fewer people do what I do than act.
Yeah.
So if I had said to myself, oh, what I'd like to do is be a... have a national radio show or have a national TV show, that would have been even more foolhardy if I had made that my goal going out. So really what I did was I did stuff I really liked to do. I really loved to do. And the truth is my career didn't really take off until you were born because I didn't have much incentive to succeed until I had to raise a family.
And now you have plenty of incentive.
That gave
the
me
shopping trips. Those are incentive to be successful.
In college.
Yeah.
But I really did get a little more serious about my career once I had a family, because then I knew that I had to support not just myself, but other people. And that kind of focused me. But that was late. That was later in life. That was in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
So the advice that I've given you, and I think the advice that I generally think is the best, is, you know, find something you love to do. Find something that stimulates you, that excites you. Something that you think you can live with for some time. Mm-hmm. I remember I interviewed Maury Sendak, who is the wonderful writer.
Great.
He's a guy.
That's awkward. Well,
it's okay.
I didn't know. I've read the books.
Name.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a wonderful children's book writer. He wrote
Wild Things Are. Yeah.
In the Night Kitchen. You loved those as a kid. And I remember getting to interview him. By the way, interviewing people that are interesting is the best part of my job. It's the stuff that I really like the best. That's the stuff.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping to do a lot of, because the people that I'm going to have on are fascinating. They're studying the thing that's most important to.
Exactly. So the thing that's fun about this job is sitting back and talking to interesting people and just listen to them. Anyway, I interviewed Maury Sendak and he said a surprising thing to me. He said, you should change careers every 10 years. And I thought, well that's interesting. Maurice, you're like the most famous children's book writer of our time. He said, yeah, I don't do that anymore. I design opera sets. And he's still an artist. So what he meant, though, I think, was there's a thread to your life of things you love to do. But what you need to do is keep it fresh by finding new ways to express that every decade or so. And that's kind of what I've done in my life. So what you as a young person, I think, is a good thing to shoot for is to find what that thread is going to be, knowing that you will have many careers, you will have many ways of expressing it. But what is it that you're in your heart you love? Is it talking to people? Is it writing? Is it looking at the stars and trying to figure out why they shine? What is it that really makes you passionate? That will be the thread in your life. And then you may have different jobs around it. But if you can pursue that and be happy around that, that's a really great gift. I've been very fortunate to
there must have been some turning point. I mean, what about all those times that you must have gotten lucky to get to where you are?
Oh, there's a lot of luck, and there was also a lot of pain, There was some bad twists along the way, too. I mean, things don't go always the best, I worked really hard to get my first radio job. And then the station changed to slushy, beautiful music and I quit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to do that. They were saying, okay, every 10 minutes, you're going to give a weather report and every 20 minutes, you're going to give the ID and that's all you do.
So you can't necessarily just go straightforward towards a career. There's times when you have to, or when you have stopped, even though it seems like it might be the best thing for your career. Like there, you could have kept doing that just to get further up in radio.
There are very few people who have a direct career trajectory. Yeah. You know, tennis players And then they're washed up in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't that many people who have a straight career trajectory.
Then
there are some very, very technical skills that you do have to study long and hard, like being a doctor. But I'll tell you what, I know a lot of doctors in their 30s and 40s. I know even more lawyers in their 30s and 40s who crave a career change. They are bored. Yeah. They want to do something else.
But what did you do to prepare for all this time that you got lucky? What did you do to... Oh, that was loud.
I'm moving a chair over so I can put my feet up.
But
it is my vacation after all.
Oh, good. But what did you do? Because there were times when it was very lucky, like, for instance, getting found by a certain radio station or things like that. But how did you have the setup that worked? What did you do to make the perfect setup so that when the luck came along, you could just go for it?
That's a really great question. And I think that actually is central to success. That's being prepared. When the opportunity comes along, it's two things.
And how did you prepare yourself, though? What did you do personally to be prepared for those opportunities?
There's three things involved. One is knowing what your passions are. That's really your job right now, because then it helps you make the jump one way or the other when opportunities come along. Does this fulfill my passion? Is this going to be joyful? Is this going to be following my... No, this is a good opportunity. So that way you don't have to ponder as much. Is this the right thing? That's the first thing.
You're kind of choppy.
The second thing is, oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
That's the neighbors. What can I do?
Yeah.
The second thing is.
Yeah, that's bad Wi-Fi. Put it up. Maybe try it without the video.
Let me stop the video and see if it's better.
It's fine. It's the same image. He's just moving his mouth in different. I don't want to. I mean, that's not.
I got to figure out how to turn it off. Yeah. Hold on.
Well, you push the video button. Skype expert.
I know, but I can't find my mouse. My mouse is. It's so bright out here. Oh, there it is. Okay. No more video. Okay. That's it on the video.
Yeah.
Let me finish. No, but let me finish.
Okay.
So three things. One is know what your passion is so you know what to do.
Yeah.
Two is prepare for opportunities to knock. Be ready. And three is have the nerve to jump. I grasp opportunities when they come along very quickly.
Even if they're risky, maybe, would you say?
You're willing to take that risk. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
But now tell us more about it personally, though. What did you do when you were preparing for these opportunities in radio specifically? What did you do to prepare that?
Well, you know, I was at Yale and I was studying Chinese.
Yeah.
And neither of which were particularly valuable.
Yeah.
And then what I did do that was valuable was I went to the campus radio station because I thought that might be kind of fun. I tried it. And then once I tried it, I said, hey, I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big deal. That was something that really was an important thing, was that discovering it. And then I just did a lot of it. You know, Malcolm Gladwell says in his book Outliers, it takes 10,000 hours of doing something to become an expert at it. So the next thing to do is just keep doing it.
Yeah. And I read that book too. And it's really interesting that he would say that, because he was saying that that's the only real thing you need is those 10,000 hours of practice, which it sounds like you got. How did you get those hours in a career that's on air? I mean, how would they let you do something that you weren't necessarily, who let you do that?
Well, do the math. You talk yourself and you talk into your way into your first radio job. And then you might even have to talk your way into your second radio job because you're not very good at first at anything. And then you just keep doing it, and you do 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for for 50 weeks a year. That's 1,000 hours a year for 10 years. And I wasn't any good at radio for the first 10 years, but it took me about 10 years. Yeah. For a long time, I used to say I was a late bloomer. It took me 10 years before I was any good, because I had in my mind, you're supposed to be, they used to say 3 to 5 years experience is enough. So I thought, that's all you need to be any good in radio. Turns out radio is just like everything else. It takes 10,000 hours. So it's funny because I knew that it took me 10 years to become good. I only knew the story behind it later.
Yeah.
So you just keep doing it, and you have to keep looking for those opportunities. It's a little tough in radio because you have to convince somebody to let you on the air. At least it used to be. It's changed now.
How did you convince people to let you on the air, though?
That's less important because now you have podcasts, you have netcasts, kids are making videos for YouTube. Look what's happened. You don't have to talk anybody into
it's
it
kind
anymore.
Of muffled,
you can
Dad.
Do it yourself. Oh, I'm talking too closely, probably.
Yeah, what are you?
I got excited. How's that sound?
He's sound messing better? With the microphones.
No, I'm not. Sound better now?
A little bit. Yeah.
It's Skype thing.
Talk louder, though.
Okay. I'll but, talk louder.
So how did you convince people to let you on the air, though? What did you say when you talked your way into it?
Well, you know, I worked in college radio, and then I got out into the real world, and I picked the worst station I could find because I thought that's the place I probably could get a job at.
Yeah.
So I put the worst station I could find, which was this little tiny station in Monterey. It was in an old cat house, and it was
an
like
old what? What?
Do you know what a cat house is?
No.
A brothel.
Oh, that's
it wasn't
lovely.
It wasn't a brothel anymore, but it was.
Well,
you know,
I hope not. Gosh.
Oh, it was a radio station, and but it was dumpy, and it was a tiny little 1,000-watt station. And I thought, this is the smallest station in the Bay Area. I can get a job at this. And you know what? I had to keep going back to them, keep talking to them, keep knocking on the door, keep bringing them tapes.
Oh,
finally,
wow.
On this, I mean, this is a crappy little station.
But finally,
I persisted. Finally, the guy who runs the station took me out to lunch and said, well, kid, you're a diamond in the rough, but we're going to give you a chance. And you know what? After all that, you know what the job he gave me was?
What?
I on midnight to 8 in the morning on Sunday morning,
wow.
I got 1 hour on the air and I got 7 hours of running religious tapes, church services.
Oh, that's like
the worst job. And you know how much I made? I
how
made
much?
$3 or $4 an hour.
That's like, what was
job.
The minimum wage then?
It was less than that, but it wasn't much less than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So I mean,
you, but you literally, you physically went back after they told you no to the station.
I think that probably they never told me no. You know, this is a fine line. You don't want to annoy people.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to give up.
But
so
they didn't. So they didn't say no. But you'd bring back.
I brought them more tapes. I think the first time they said no, you're no good. And I said, can I give you another tape? And they said, okay. So I got. I took a unpaid gig at the local non-commercial radio station in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And I did shows to make another tape. And I brought them another tape.
What were the tapes of? Just you talking?
They call them air checks. Yeah, they're tapes of you doing your show, minus the music, just you talking.
What were you saying for stuff like that? What would you say?
I would say, it's 55 degrees in the city, WYBC in New Haven. I'm Leo Laporte, and now here you go, new riders of the Purple Sage. We're riding off into the sunset on a Saturday afternoon.
Wow. Was that your voice that you used?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if I have tapes anymore, but I listened back a few years.
Dad, what is that noise? There was like a. Are you like?
That noise?
Yeah, that noise.
Oh.
Are you kicking something or?
No, I have. I'm the laptop's on it. I went inside because now that you're not getting a picture, I just went inside.
Is it, yeah.
And the tables. Does it sound better now?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't move.
Oh, wow. Were you doing the cheesy radio voice, too? You were actually doing, like, hi, here you, like, the whole...
Yeah, I thought that's how you had to do it. As I said, I wasn't very good for the first 10 years. I thought you kind of had to sound like that. So I did. I sounded like that a little bit.
Oh, no, that's awful.
Yeah. In retrospect, when I hear the tapes now, the feeling was bad.
You should play some. I would like to hear some of those tapes.
I don't think I have them anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't keep them. That doesn't sound like... And... But like you were saying, another time you were telling me a story about how at the radio conventions, all the people
were talking
as low as they could talk, competing with each other.
They all talk like this. They say, hey, it's Bob Cummins from WGBZ. Like, how
nice
are
to
you?
Meet you. Yeah.
They're all trying to out-low each other. So they get lower and lower as the day goes by. Pretty soon.
What about pretty like soon? It's unintelligible. Yeah.
So you can't understand a word they're saying.
And what about girl radio announcers? What would they do?
Radio?
Higher and higher?
Sound like Dusty Rhodes. That was her name, Dusty Rhodes.
hey, they all were trying to sound breathy and sexy. It's late night, and we're playing the big hits here.
That's
here
comes awful. The big opera.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, wow. So,
but you get better. You know what you learn, and it took me a long time to learn, and a lot of things happened in my life that helped me. But eventually, studying acting, ironically, is one of the things that helped me. But eventually, you learn that the best thing to do is to sound like you, to be normal.
Yeah, that's what you'd think. That's kind of the intuitive thing to do.
It was a different time. But it's not as easy as it sounds because you want to present. You want to come on and...
Well, and you still do when you're doing like a show open, you still do a voice that's
not exactly.
I mean, it's more.
Yeah, I do an announcer voice, which is not so good. Yeah.
But, you know, my Aunt Eva, who is Leo's sister, is in town, and she was talking about how you were born with a voice that's you're lucky to have because, other than, you know, if you didn't have that, you probably couldn't have been on the radio.
I don't think my voice, you know, sometimes I hear my dad's voice in my voice, and he has a higher voice. I think my voice, I've been doing this 33 years, that over time I kind of
trained it maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trained it to be lower and less high, less nasal, less throaty, more in my chest and stuff like that. So,
which sounds more,
And
it's almost like a singer would learn how to do certain techniques.
And I know when I'm on mic, and I do definitely mold my voice for the mic when I'm on mic. So,
oh wow, I didn't even know you could do that. That's good to know, I guess.
So I don't know if it's so good. I mean, really, radio, you really learn that the best thing to do is to try to communicate.
Yeah.
And gee, it seems obvious now, but it's not so obvious when you're starting out and you're terrified and you don't really know if you have anything good to say. That's it's hard. I bet you maybe have a little bit of that when you first think about doing this show is, well, do I have anything to say? So it's really hard when you're
That's why I'm bringing other people on, because I don't think I have anything to say. So I'm going to have other people say the things for me.
Right. But that's actually a very smart thing.
Well, it's not like I don't have things that it's not like I have information about teen issues that I could bring to the show necessarily. I just have my own experience.
Yeah.
Which is something, but it's not.
Well, I think in the long run, that's all any of us really offer, whether you're a writer or you're a filmmaker or you're a singer or whatever you do, especially in the arts, is your own unique point of view. Because really, we have to recognize that we're all really kind of the same. We really have the same issues and the same problems, you know, for the most part. But what we have that's different for every single person is that unique place that we stand looking out at the world. And so an artist does two things: looks for the commonality in our experiences, and then looks for that thing that makes their experience experience, and talks about that.
Well, and gives a worldview that, you know, presents their worldview through what they know and through what they've been through. So,
exactly.
No, it's true. It's definitely a good point. What are you trying to present to people by having this studio? What do you want people to have from this?
I decided that that's a really good question, and I don't talk about it a whole lot, but what I really decided my job was going to be in life was, to kind of entertain people but to teach them, to have them learn about stuff. And when I found technology, I thought, oh, this is great. This is something I love and I understand, and I can explain to people. So I want to make my life's work, at least for this 10 years, about translating this gobbledygook that's very difficult for people into something that they can understand. Because I read once in a really good acting book that no actor is any good unless they have a deeply felt, deeply almost a political agenda that they have.
Yeah.
And that's what informs great acting. It's not superficial, how's my hair? It's, I have a mission. I have something to express.
Well, you have to have a reason you're doing it. Otherwise, there's nothing. It's clear that there's not that much beneath it if you don't have that reason.
Yeah. So that's
because you genuinely want to explain to people these tech things that are so new and so hard for a lot of people to understand.
But it comes from a deeply held political belief mm-hmm. that this stuff empowers in people to have a voice
yep.
and to transcend power well, and to get around, repression.
Well, and so we've seen that with the Iran case. That's exactly what it's yeah. proved that ideology of yours that.
But I've always believed that.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I gave an interview to a movie about hackers. I said, hackers are important. Hackers are going to be the freedom fighters of the 21st century. They're the people who are going to take down the despots. So hackers are not just these, vandalist kids. These are the most important people of our time. And I want everybody, to some extent, to be a hacker. I want them to understand technology well enough to protect themselves, to express themselves, to give themselves opportunities. So that, yeah. I kind of made that my mission. I'm kind of a subversive. I kind of like to do it subtly. I don't like to hit people over the head with it. So I kind of sneak in. My theory is if I can sneak into the halls of power and tell people how to take down the halls of power, then I'm doing a good job.
And by that you mean?
Well, in the early days of broadcast.
Like big media, old media.
I had to use old media. Yeah. There wasn't other. So I'm using, don't tell anybody, but I'm using old media to bring down old media.
Yeah.
And now you're just now starting to see the transition where I no longer need old media, but for 20 years I had to have old media.
Well, and that's how you, well, that's the thing. It's these politicians, same thing, where they have a thing they want to get rid of, a certain politic, and they go through that politic. I mean, it's like, it's the same thing. 60s, you have to go through the thing that you're trying to destroy sometimes.
In the 60s, we used to make fun of people who became part of the establishment because they'd always say, well, I want to affect change from within. And we always thought, oh, you're just copping out. You just want to have a nice house.
But to be fair, that's kind of how you do it. And that's how you've done it. That's how you go. Well, now it's new media. It's mostly new media.
You realize that you can have a revolution in the streets, but it's very destructive. Sometimes you have to. I think in Iran, for instance, you're going to have to. But most of the time, you don't have to have the revolution in the streets. If you're patient, you can create a revolution as Gandhi did from within, just because people are ultimately powerful. And ultimately, the people are who decides what happens.
Well, gosh, this is very deep moral kind
well,
of
it is. And when you see, that's so you started by asking me about how I chose my career and what advice I would give. And that ultimately, you need to come from that deep a place if it's going to satisfy you long term. You can't come from, well, I just want a nice job and that I can, have a nice car. And because that's not going to satisfy you in the long run. And you're going to get to be an adult and you're going to say, I'm stuck.
Yeah, and when you ignore that deep moral calling that you have, you can't be happy with any job you have. That doesn't,
You have to, it has to fulfill your soul.
Yeah, definitely. And so do you feel that this is fulfilling
very much,
of that?
Yeah, I feel and that's really why I feel fortunate. Is that I get to do something that really fulfills me. And I feel is important. And yet I get to make a good living and have a nice house too. Although the first part's more important than the second part.
Yeah.
But I think for kids your age, it's really easy to float into something. And I really think it's important for kids your age to understand that your job right now, I think I told you this, is to find out what is your passion. And it's hard because you have so many options and so many choices. And now that's hard for you. So for some kids, it's hard the other way. They don't have many options. They don't have many choices. So, there can be
so
different hardships.
So they end up going into the one thing that, and that's something we're going to talk about, hopefully, is this pressure and the fact that sometimes people feel really cornered, kids going out of high school feel really cornered into the one thing they can do. And it's really stressful and it's happening more and more.
I agree.
And,
That's why I would say you really have to have a deep rooted, kind of obstinate passion for finding out what it is you want to do and doing it and not let the facts of your life get in the way, at least as little as you can. Now, some people have very, very hard lives and
That's the other thing. Some people don't have, a lot of people don't in any way have the means to do. And that's something else we'll be talking about, especially with college, because, you know, obviously our college system is based on money, to be frank. So,
well, do remember though, the lesson of your grandfather, your great grandfather, mom's grandfather, Ben, whose mom abandoned him when he was 4 years old. He was his father made him work in the fields. And when he was 11, Ben ran away.
He took the train to California.
He taught himself everything, got into Stanford, became a maxillofacial surgeon, invented many inventions that are still used by the dental profession today, including the Toffelmeyer, which anybody who's a dentist who's listening will know, and became a great man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because he had any opportunities as a kid, quite the opposite. He determined this was his passion and followed it even when he was 11 years old. So that's pretty, it just shows you can do it, you know?
Although, to be fair, there's a lot of people who don't, I mean, he had some source of great strength, clearly, but then there's other people who don't even have strong enough of an upbringing. You know, I mean, I
understand, but, and I guess we should all aim to be like Ben, you know, we should, you know, find that within ourselves, and that's the goal. And you're right. You know, I mean, and there are also some people, you know, because of the color of their skin because they're, you know, their various situations cannot get out of those. They're in such difficult, dire straits. And then, you know, it's very hard. And I think it's our responsibility, to help those people as best we can too.
Well, anyone with any kind of privilege should.
Yeah. Everybody deserves
try to help
to follow their passion. Every human being deserves that. So that's another important thing to do, is not just do it for yourself, but do it for other people too.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. And it's very,
you're good about that.
Hmm?
You're good about that.
I'm good about doing things for other people.
Yeah, I think so. Aren't you?
Well, as much as I can. I hope so.
I know your school is very good about that kind of thing. At Sonoma Academy, they have, you know, they teach don't you have a requirement to go out in the community and work with the community?
Yeah, I've done a lot of humanitarian work, but I was talking to Colleen about this yesterday, the other day, but I don't know. I feel like there's something a little bit weird about certain types of humanitarian work, and
yeah, sometimes it's meaning to the people that you're helping.
Yeah, it can be a little bit. I don't know. I think it's important to look at how you help people.
Is it really hot in there?
It's really hot. Yeah, I'm pretty much dying.
I'm so sorry. The air conditioning guy came in this morning, and we're gonna get that air conditioning.
It's I just missed the air conditioning by a day.
Well, I don't know if it'll be in tomorrow, but it'll be in soon. Maybe by your next show, it'll be in.
Speaking of which, I'm hoping to have on Vanessa Van Petten for my next show.
Yeah. Now, you sent her an email, but you can't plug her until she says yes. So.
I know, but I sent her an email. Can I say that, though? I can say she has not talked to me at all. She has in no way indicated she'll be on the show, but I would love to have her on the show, and I have told her that.
I think you have a very good lineup of some very interesting people who are coming up. I know.
And I mentioned that earlier in the show.
Yeah. No, you're going to have, this is going to be a very interesting show.
Yeah. I hope to have some really good people on. And then I'm having a French exchange, or one of my friends from France is coming to stay with me for a week. And I was thinking I might be able to have him on the show.
That's a great idea.
Because I was thinking that maybe he could talk about differences, cultural differences, which is interesting. And I think a lot of American teenagers don't understand what the cultural differences are, really. Oh, there's video.
I thought I'd turn it on again and see if the bandwidth is working well enough. It's kind of dark in here.
People are saying I look like you, by the way.
I feel bad about that. I'm sorry.
That's the problem with interning with your dad.
Like the best of you, that you look the best of me and your mom.
I hope so. Gosh. You guys are like really old, though.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I think we're going to start wrapping up pretty soon. This one's a little bit shorter than... What? So that was a very,
thank you for,
I can't, you're not, oh, that's okay. But that was a very, thank you for the interview. That was a very, less story based, more ideals and morals and advice based interview, but it was great to hear from you. And it's good to hear about some of the things that compel you to do the stuff that you do and some of the reasoning behind all of this and why all of this is here. So, thank you for that. It's good to hear about that. We won't be having you on the show anymore. That was great that's for it. One time because, that's a one-time thing, just so you know. That's good.
Okay.
So, just kidding. Well, we might have you on a few more times.
No, no, I don't want to be on anymore.
All right.
You see my new watch?
On if you don't want to be
look at that. Look at that new
and,
watch.
And Leo Laporte, our guest, has a new watch that President Obama has the same type of watch as
this
him.
Was my
it's not
day.
His watch,
that
but it's the same.
Father's day.
It was his Father's Day present. We had a great Father's Day yesterday. I wonder what Obama did for his Father's Day. Probably something really fun.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did a great barbecue or something.
Probably signed a bill or something.
He probably signed something. Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, so, congratulations. I'm really proud of you. Congratulations on your new show. I'm really looking forward to hearing it and watching it. And good luck on the editing and drive home safely.
Oh, that's my mom in the background. It's a long, windy drive. I was behind two school buses on the way here.
Don't be in a hurry.
But thank you so much for being on the show. We will have the next show recorded at 5 o'clock next Monday. We'll be recording again.
Okay.
And hopefully that's when we'll have on Vanessa. If not, we might have on Marco. That's another option for that show.
Just surprise people. So you don't
We'll see, but it will be recorded next Monday.
You know what? You should interview mom sometime and find out how big of a liar I am.
That's the thing is that half of this interview is actually false.
No, it's not.
Hey, no, it's not. It might be.
From father to daughter.
Uh-huh.
The camera, it's over there.
I don't know how to where.
This way. This way. Look. This not at me. Look over there. See? Over there.
Am I looking right in the camera cuz I can't see me if I'm doing
No, the other one. The second camera.
That one?
That's the camera.
I don't look right in the camera. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, dude, look right in the camera.
Well, okay, this is being recorded. This is embarrassing. Stop. So it's great to have you on. Thank you so much, Leo Laporte, Chief Twit. You can contact him at, can I give your email address out?
Sure.
At leo@twit.tv if you have any questions. Thank you. I'll see you very shortly, and everyone else will see you later if they want to. So,
okay. Bye, Abby.
Bye, Dad.
Good luck on your show.
Okay,
see ya.
I'm going to hang out.
Drive safely. Play your theme song now.
Okay. So that's great. We just had him on. And then, so we will be recording 5 Monday with a new guest. And I'm going to try to take calls next show. Hopefully that will be working. Please send in requests and ideas and anything. And we also are hoping to have some kind of weekly features. So maybe a weekly clip from something or a weekly news story or something like that. So if you have any ideas about what the weekly thing should be, that would be great too. Oh, I have to look into the camera now. Thank you so much for watching. This is Abby's Road. We'll see you next week.